So you've got a business idea, you're passionate about it, you think there might be others out there that share the same passion as you, but how do you turn that passion into an actual product? Hey, welcome to Growing a Fruitful Brand, where we discuss how to create and grow a brand that makes the world a better place for you, your customers, and your employees. I'm Ben Luters, founder and art director of Fruitful Design and Strategy. Today, I'm talking with my longtime friend and creative collaborator, Jonathan Kaiser. Almost 10 years ago, he took a crazy creative product idea and put it out into the world for others to purchase and enjoy. And so began the story of Lens Distortions, an amazing brand that creates premium music and effects for video editors. Lens Distortions products have been used in blockbuster movies, big TV shows, and high-end commercials, but it's the young creative who's just starting out that Jonathan is really focused on. If you want some practical tips and inspiration on how to take your passion project and turn it into a profitable product, stay tuned. John, welcome to Growing a Fruitful Brand. I'm excited to talk to you today about Lens Distortions. But before we begin, I want to kind of give a little bit of a disclaimer for everyone. John and I are good friends and we go way back. I was in his wedding, he was in my wedding, and myself and Fruitful, we've had the opportunity of working on a number of branding projects with John. So I just want everyone to kind of know that. And so if we start kind of just getting into a lot of little, you know, personal stories and insider jokes, you know, you've been warned.
Good to see you, Ben. Man, those were the glory days. When did we first really meet? 2006, 2007?
2006. So yeah, I was 19. We're both 19, I think, and you turned 20, and yeah, it's kind of a crazy, crazy road.
It was fun when I met you. You were this like creative at large, like an illustrator, a musician, like you kind of did everything. And I felt like at the time I didn't really do anything, but I like was so inspired by you all the time that I wanted to hang around you. You're also a very fun guy, so.
Thank you, John. Well, that's funny because I was very creatively inspired by you. I feel like you kind of dabbled in lots of things. At that time, you were doing like home remodeling and like flipping, which, you know, is creative in its own way. You were doing a lot of photography stuff. You were, you know, trying out your chops on, you know, web development and all kinds of different things. And I could hardly keep up with you. And so it was kind of fun that it was such a like, I think special time, you know, in our development as creatives and right on the cusp of, you know, becoming professionals. We were both, I think, having like really fun creative ideas all the time. And what I really want to get into with you today on is like, you know, how did you particularly harness that kind of like passion and turn it into something that is so productized and professional and something that people actually want to pay for. And so your business is Lens Distortions. And before we get into the history of it, could you just kind of tell us what it is?
So Lens Distortions is a company that basically we create really high-end creative ingredients for filmmakers. So our small team creates music, sound effects, visual assets. We create software that hopefully gives creatives like a lot of leverage. And kind of on top of that, we're also a brand. And we have a very kind of specific focus that we've kind of built our brand around, which is this idea that basically in an increasingly superficial and commoditized world, we want to empower creatives to do more meaningful work. And so that kind of ethos kind of bleeds into everything we do, from, you know, creating music and sound effects and building out little software experiences in our mobile app. So we really, as a brand, we really want to like give people permission to do stuff that really matters, you know, infuse more meaning and significance into things in, you know, and not in epic ways. A lot of times it's really small ways that people may not notice, but makes it fun. So that's lens distortions.
That's lens distortion. I think the funny thing is, not only is that lens distortions, that is John Kaiser in a nutshell. And I think what's so cool about your company is it's such a cool reflection of like that creative heart that, you know, I encountered when I was 19 years old. The way that you describe that is such a great correlation between those things. And so let's dive into it. You know, right now, if you go to lensdistortions.com, you're going to see they've got all kinds of, you know, there's different products that they have. They're all kind of tailored to video creators. They even have a mobile app that is, you know, tailored more towards just creatives in general. But when it first started, how did Lens Distortions first start, and why is it called Lens Distortions? I'm sure you get that all the time.
So we started very, very humble beginnings. So I spent, I don't know, about 10 years as a filmmaker, almost 10 years, just doing commercial projects and taking almost any job that people would give me just to try to make ends meet. And, over the years, I was able to, I had the fortune of being able to work on some really cool projects for brands like ESPN and, you know, infinite number of really, really small projects for, you know, small businesses down the street. And, one thing, I'm kind of an obsessive person, and whether I was working on those really big projects or really, really small ones, I would kill myself to make them as good as I could. Like, I wasn't just trying to like copy what the videographer down the street was doing. I was like trying to like copy Chris Nolan and Steven Spielberg. And, you know, I wanted every single project to be like Apple quality, you know? And so that, I don't know, that kind of attitude we still kind of have around our business now. Like, we try to only greenlight projects that we feel we can do really well. And so back in the day when I was a filmmaker, I did a lot of like visual effects and editing and stuff like that. And I had some people who were doing a big project in Iceland for an agency. And at the time, there was this really cool, like trendy visual look where they would take like shards of glass and put the glass in front of the lens and do these really like artistic things. And my friends wanted to do that, but the agency was not so keen on shipping them across the world and then putting like shards of glass in front of the lens. Like, great way to really mess up a video shoot. So they were like, "Hey, John, you know, any chance we could find a way to do this in post?" I was like, "Oh, there's no way. It's too hard to get it to look that good." But I tinkered and experimented a lot and came up with some like video overlays that really looked similar. And my friends ended up not even using it, but I thought, I wonder if other people might like it. So I spun up a really like kind of scrappy website and I made it into a little product called Lens Distortions, you know, because it distorted the lens with glass. And before long, people started buying it, and it was really fun. And I brought on a co-founder, Craig Nachlinas, to help me really expand and grow the business. And then over years, we started adding more kind of visual products. And then, so that was the beginnings, and it evolved quite a bit over the last almost 10 years.
Well, let's zoom into that beginning a little bit. On growing a fruitful brand, and here at Fruitful Design and Strategy, we talk about the importance of focus and niching down and knowing your customer. And as you and I were kind of talking through what we could get into in this conversation, like, I can't imagine a more niched product. Like, even as you're describing it, like, I remember when you first were telling me about this, this possible product. And I was like, I'm a very creative person. And I was like, what on earth are you talking about? Who's going to pay for you know, shards of glass overlaid. Like, it is like such a focused thing. But like, you kind of, I feel like you saw something that I didn't see. Like, you knew, you know, tell me, did you kind of see that, you know, you must have seen that, you know, there are other people like you that might want to buy this?
Yeah, I mean, we saw similar things kind of happening in totally different spaces. Like, in the fashion world, a lot of the fashion videos were like doing these types of looks. The big car brands would do really similar, like, you know, like the Mercedes-Benz logo where it's like, you know, like,
that's great,
you know, like, and so we would see, you know, we'd see like these really big time brands doing this stuff. And
yeah,
we thought, why can't everybody do that? Like, and so we started building products that only the really, really, really big dogs would, you know, things that they would do. And we started making it available to everybody.
And well, then tell me, did any of the big dogs, were they interested in your product? Has anyone, like, you know, famous or noteworthy, that you know of, used lens distortions?
Oh yeah. I mean, over the years, we kind of got to this point where we were doing that look kind of better than anyone. So, you know, the opening titles of season one of Stranger Things has some very subtle, like, light overlays from us, all the way to the ending titles of the Batman movie that came out last year, Matt Reeves' Batman. The entire ending credits are all our glass effects. And then, you know, we've seen our stuff used by Marvel films during the end credits. We've seen them in Tesla commercials, Mercedes-Benz commercials recently. It's really fun to see where these things go when you put them out there. But the thing that really gets us excited is when we find these like 17-year-old people still living at home with a laptop and a camera pushing themselves to do things at that exact same level. It's truly mind-blowing what people can do just on a laptop these days in terms of like really cool videos. And those are people are our customers. So we're bringing those products from the high end thing to like ordinary people who are trying to up their game, you know?
That, talk about that for a minute, John. So I think that is one of the interesting things about really just, you know, the creative world in the last, you know, 10, 15 years, is some of the technology that used to only be available to, you know, the richest of the rich or these really high end, that like, it's now available to, you know, to almost anybody. How did that revolution in like technology and availability, how did that affect you kind of in your, you know, creative journey and in building lens distortions?
I remember way back in the day, like when you and I first met each other, and I was like, oh, I wish I could be a filmmaker someday, you know, but it was too hard because a good camera was like, you know, $10,000 or $20,000, and you needed all of this complicated computer hardware. And right around that time, you know, the Canon 5D came out.
Yeah.
And you could shoot like really cool video footage that had a like a depth of field in it. And Final Cut Pro was like really going crazy at the time. And all these new tools just started becoming available, and tons of people grabbed those tools and just started making stuff. And at the exact same time, you had like Vimeo and YouTube creating platforms that where you could actually get eyeballs on your work, you know, and a really, really fun creative community came out of that, especially on Vimeo back in the early days. And it was a really exciting time being able to. It's funny, like even at that time, no one had drones. And I had some buddies who were, you know, young filmmakers, and they ever so often would like rent a helicopter and, you know, go shoot aerial stuff. And all the rest of us were so mind blown. We're like, oh, how did you get this footage? And now like everybody has a drone, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And everyone can capture the most breathtaking footage you can imagine, which, so it's really cool the world we live in now. If you have any type of vision for what you want to do, there's not much stopping you.
Well, and it seems like Lens Distortions has kind of followed that same journey, right? Where, you know, your initial products were something, you know, you're targeting towards more, you know, premium, high end, you know, like the J.J. Abrams of the world. And then now you're trying to make that available to, like you said, this 17-year-old creative who has, you know, a passion for filmmaking or a certain aesthetic. Really kind of it seems like you're kind of marketing a bit to you, like when I first met you, you know, like this teenager with just a passion for the industry and wanting to make great work. And so maybe this would be a good time to kind of get into what Lens Distortions is now. One of the cool things that I've noticed is that, you know, it's not just about visual effects anymore. You guys have really expanded into, you know, sound effects and music. That's the most compelling part to me. I think your music is absolutely stunning. How did that come to be? Was that always part of the plan? Or I know you're someone who is passionate about music, but how did that evolution kind of come to be?
So, you know, it's funny. You said back in the day, I was trying to explain to you what Lens Distortions was way back in the day.
Right.
And it's one of those things that it's kind of hard to explain, but if you make a cool visual trailer for it and show someone that video, they're like, oh, I get it. That looks cool. You know, they may not Google it, but once you put it in front of them, they understood it. And so we would create these really, really high-end trailers to like show off, like, you know, the products that we had. And we would put so much effort into making these really cinematic kind of trailers. And a lot of stuff that went into that was like sound effects. Like we put tons of sound effects in the videos. And it, at the time, it was really hard to find good sound effects. They were kind of kept under lock and key by these really big production houses that only wanted like professional sound designers to use them. And there just wasn't a lot of options. So we found some collaborators to help us start building out sound effects, mostly for ourselves, but we turned that into products, you know, making that available to all of our customers. And that really took off. People absolutely loved our sound effects. And we're not talking like, you know, cute little like cartoon
dog barking.
No, Spencer. Yeah, these are like the kind of sounds you hear in a movie trailer, you know, like this summer, you know, and then wishes and all kinds of really fun things to make your edits feel dynamic. So then, you know, we kept building, making videos, and people kept asking us, like, where do you get your music from? And we're like, we do it the same way you do it. We have to like comb through websites for hours and hours and hours just to find a good track, you know, that has the right ethos. And we kind of started getting tired of telling people that. So we thought, why don't we, you know, create our own music that kind of matches our style and what we're about. So we started dipping our toes in there and having a lot of fun and learning a ton. You know, we didn't know what we were doing. We just were figuring it out as we went. And we really fell in love with building music as a company. I pinch myself every single day, the people I get to work with, between our composers that make original stuff to our developers that build software, mashing all that up together into like a product experience is really fun. So yeah, that's kind of how music came to be. We just slowly kind of like expanded, you know, what would be useful to us, making, you know, building that into products for our customers.
Subscribe and ring that bell. As we kind of think about product, you know, the kind of controlling idea of this podcast being productizing your passion. I think one of the cool things about it is like, I see the controlling idea of kind of lens distortions is like, hey, if I'm passionate about this, if this is something I want, if this is something I'm paying for, there's got to be others out there. And you don't have to have something that, you know, that appeals to every person on earth. You just need to find your people. And so I am kind of curious, especially, you know, as I look at like the early days of lens distortions, how did you find the people to market this to? Were these just people you already knew? Did you just kind of put a bunch of keywords in some Facebook ads and hope for the best? Or how did you kind of build kind of the community for your products?
So the very first week that we launched the website, by we, I mean me, on my laptop, I went on Vimeo and I just started like commenting and watching people's videos, and just like starting conversations. And I think in the first couple of weeks, I probably talked to like 1,000 people like on Vimeo. I'm not even joking. I was doing it 12 hours a day, just like starting conversations, showing interest in other people's projects and complimenting their videos. And that just kind of organically like created some interest around, you know, the name Lens Distortions and the website and what we did. And, every single order that came in, I would personally try to look up that person on Vimeo or YouTube, watch some of their videos. Then I would send them an email thanking them for their order and mention one of the videos that I looked at from them and, you know, call out some of the things I liked about their videos. And people were so mind blown by that. But if you have a small shop, if you sell flowers on the street, it's very easy to do that because people walk in face to face, you can talk to them. But on a website, there's no human connection. That's much harder to do. So in the early days, I kind of had to really make an effort to go out of the way to do that. And it was so fun. And I met so many cool people through that. It was great.
So in addition to sound effects, visual effects, amazing music library, you have a subscription basis that creatives can get this at lensdistortions.com. You also have a mobile app that is like it's bonkers what this thing can do. But I'm really curious to know how the mobile app kind of came to be. And it seems to me that the audience for the app and the audience for some of your other products seems a little bit, you know, related, but different. And so I'm kind of curious, you know, how you kind of manage that. So first though, kind of how did the mobile app come to be?
So early on, we were creating all these visual assets. And the way that we would do that is we'd take like really high end, like cinema lenses and like shoot sunlight into them to create lens flares and things like that. And we created some insanely beautiful lens flares. I mean, some of them are so beautiful, you could just print them and just look at them, you know, because that there's all these like chromatic aberrations in them and detail. And that itself was a really fun process. And people would add these to their photos. So we had a small contingent of photographers who were part of our customer base. And so we started, we realized it'd be really nice to have a mobile app to, it was a little clunky using these overlays in Photoshop. Photoshop is not known for being really elegant in its user interface. You know, it's a massive learning curve.
It's basically like this camel that was like born in 1987 and people have just been like piling features on top of it for literal decades. And so, yes, I can imagine wanting to start.
Yeah. And exactly. And we really care about, you know, giving people really elegant experience so that they don't have to worry about all the like technical jargon. They just want to be creative and execute their vision and stuff. So again, just like our website, very humble beginnings. We created a very simple app that let people add some of these glass effects and then some lens flares. And then we, you know, another thing people kept asking us, they kept saying, hey, how do you color grade your videos? Because we had this very kind of cinematic tonal look to our color. And so we made some more products. We made a product called Finishing LUTs that were basically these really subtle, very subtle color presets that kind of like tie all of your shots around a cohesive look. And they're great for video and they're great for editing your photos on your phone. So we kept building out the mobile app, and over time, it's really powerful now. I'm really proud of it. It's kind of like Photoshop in your pocket. And, I think, we've gotten some attention on the mobile app here and there. We recently got featured by Apple as App of the Day, which was really exciting.
So cool.
And it's funny because we're in the middle of kind of rebuilding the entire mobile app right now to be way more video focused. And
can you talk about that?
I mean, we've got some major updates rolling out in the next very soon, next couple months. And it's going to really help people do kind of high end animation type stuff right on their phone. I get a lot of inspiration from, you know, the 3D world, people who do really high-end animation in After Effects or Cinema 4D or Blender. And those are very technical, difficult software products to learn, but they give you such interesting things to look at. And so our mobile app has a really powerful engine inside of it. And we're going to be using that engine to help people do some really cool animation stuff.
Wow.
So of course we'll be aligning the audiences quite a bit more, I think, in the future between our website and our mobile app. I think just this week we started teasing on Instagram that some of our music stuff will be available in the mobile app.
Oh,
which we're very excited about.
I that was actually going to be a follow-up question, because that I didn't know. I have seen a little bit of a preview, because full disclosure, I know the rest of John's team a bit, and I've seen some of the stuff kind of in progress, and it is amazing. I think there's going to be a lot of really cool use cases, and you know, I think I see the mobile app as really, you know, it's no wonder that it kind of comes from this rich history of attention to detail and high-end videographers, et cetera. But it really, I could see its use case being for, you know, creatives and marketers kind of across the board. And you said Photoshop in your pocket, but I think with, you know, some of the video animation kind of components, typography components, I mean, I think this app really is going to get Canva kind of shaken in its boots a little bit. And I'm pretty excited about that. You know, I think, you know, Canva has kind of become, you know, this tool that a lot of us graphic designers kind of roll our eyes because, you know, all of our clients try to do their own designs on Canva to show us. But it really is a powerful tool. And I think it's really neat to see you guys coming up with something that is so robust and also just so beautiful. Is it okay if I say that?
No,
I
mean, thank you.
I feel like that's the kind of difference is, you know, you guys kind of come from this really high class, like elegant look initially, and you're now opening that up to the public. And, you know, it is much more accessible. It's not as, you know, maybe as stuffy, or, you know, you don't have to have this kind of cinematic or like epic kind of a project you're working on necessarily, but it's still, you've retained the beauty somehow. And I don't know, I think it's a really cool thing that you guys have achieved with the app.
Thank you. I get a lot of inspiration from product designers who really care about like the physicality of a product, whether it's, you know, a Leica camera and the buttons on it and the material that it's made out of, or, you know, like the classic Apple packaging when, you know, when you unbox an Apple product and it just gives you that feeling.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so great. And we put so much thought into trying to do similar things in our mobile app, with subtle animations in the UI and making the user experience as simple as possible, and eliminating friction and trying to make it magical. We have a long ways to go and we're always trying to improve, but it's one of my favorite parts of my job, is kind of really dialing that kind of stuff.
So we were talking about this offline, John and I were, you know, about watches. You know, John loves nice watches. You can see he's got a beautiful watch, a Royal Oak behind him, a picture of one, and a nice watch on his wrist as well. And he was showing me this coffee table book he has, of just like beautiful up close details of beautiful watches. And, you know, for some, this may sound, you know, this might be the part that you fast forward if you're maybe not a creative professional. John, how does, you know, the beautiful inner workings of a timeless timepiece, how can that inspire you as you build products?
I think that there's this great quote from Steve Jobs where someone was asking him where ideas come from. And he basically said that ideas are basically connecting the dots between all these different life experiences that you have. And if you want to get better ideas, get more life experiences and think really deeply about them. And then ideas are formed when you connect those dots. So my job as a creative director is I have to really keep my creative reservoir filled, so to speak, with all kinds of random stuff. I mean, I won't bore you with the many crazy things I'm always curious about, but I think that for any person, whether you're in a creative field or you're wanting to start a business or create a product or you have a product idea, it is always so valuable to connect ideas together. I mean, imagine if you're a plumber who also is really good at public speaking, imagine like the business ideas you could have just connecting those two things, right?
Oh yeah.
And so I always encourage people, like, you should use your spare time to start learning some crazy random things, whatever you're curious about, you know. Over COVID, you know, I had a lot of time just sitting in my basement. And I thought, you know what? I would really love to learn Cinema 4D. And Cinema 4D is this really kind of complicated animation software that lets you do photorealistic renderings. And I love product photography, especially when it's like 3D, because it's so beautiful these days. So I was inspired by that. So I took a bunch of online courses and I learned how to do it. And then, we came up with this new product that we were creating called Sound Design Tracks. And Sound Design Tracks are basically like, they kind of blur the line between music and sound effects. And, so they have like all these like crazy whooshes and sounds that kind of you would use them as music. And we were trying to come up with a way to like visually explain this because it's kind of a amorphous topic. So I had just learned Cinema 4D and I had this book, this coffee table book about all these watches. And I thought, I got all these ideas from all these like cool photographs of watches. So I kind of like created this 3D waveform graphic that had a lot of the, I don't know, characteristics of some of these watch parts, more of the like texture and stuff. And now if you go to our homepage on our website, you'll see that 3D waveform right there. And so that's just an example of kind of like bolting all different types of ideas together.
I'm really inspired. I'm inspired personally just talking to you right now, John. I feel like we're back in 2006 right here a little bit. So I hope that others are getting something out of this. If not, just, you know, humoring you and I, just kind of, you know, reminiscing what it means to be a creative.
There are, if you are kind of paying attention to things that are done really well around you, there are endless ways to draw inspiration from it. It doesn't matter what kind of business you have either, whether it's a creative business or not. Like I said, you know, if you're a plumber, you could learn a lot from public speaking, you know. Back in 2019, I decided I wanted to take my wife and three kids at the time on a trip over to China for a couple of weeks. And it was a bit of an ambitious trip, especially considering that my wife was six months pregnant.
Oh, wow.
And but, you know, it was going to be fun. It was going to be an experience. And I knew she... Basically, I decided we should probably stay at a nice hotel. Just so my wife is a little more comfortable, because she was not feeling great. So we stayed at this really cool 5-star hotel, and I'll never forget this experience that we had. We got out of our cab and we walked into this hotel, and as soon as we walked through the doors, the staff greeted us by name. They were expecting us, and they knew our names, and they were waiting for us.
Wow.
And just the fact that they were so intentional with that to us, it just blew my mind. And it made me realize, like, why can't all businesses do stuff like that? You know?
Wow. Yeah. And so did you take that and like, oh man, I need to like find a way to apply this? Or were you just like, man, everyone else needs to get their act together?
Well, I mean, for one, I need to do a better job of remembering people's names. Mm. That's one lesson. But another is that, you know, if you are really orienting yourself around your customer to really make them feel special, they absolutely notice that. And that is so valuable, you know?
That actually might be a really good place to kind of wrap up, John, because I feel like it really ties into what you were saying. You know, in the origin of Lens Distortions in the beginning, of like taking that time to reach out and email, you know, check out the work of the people who are using your product, and to let them know what you thought about what they were creating. I feel like that really kind of shows kind of the heart of your heart, and also the heart of Lens Distortions. So, John, if people want to find out more about what you're doing, these products, where should they go?
I would love everyone to follow us on Instagram at Lens Distortions. Swing by our website, lensdistortions.com. And if you know anyone who is a video editor or a filmmaker or anything related to that, send them to our website. We want it to be a goldmine of like great stuff for people who create videos.
Well, it is a gold mine. Keep up the great work, John. It's been so great to have you on. And we'll have to do this again. We'll have to do this again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Ben.
In our last outro, it was just Ben by himself asking you to like and subscribe, which made it look like he didn't have any friends. Please like and subscribe so he has at least virtual friends.
I have friends, Raj.
I'm one of them.